This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on, though, to our next story.
Housing and Local Government Minister Zuraida Kamarudin said that the federal government is considering heavier penalties to curb illegal plastic waste operations, adding that the current fine is inadequate for a multi-billion ringgit business. She said that by law, the fine is only 300 ringgit for the first offence and another 300 ringgit for the second offence. So in her words, what is that for a 30 billion ringgit business?
So this is, of course, coming after quite a lot of controversy surrounding plastic imports and kind of the illegal industries that we're seeing sprout up around this. And Zuraida has said that her ministry will also be considering imposing a fee as well as charges for every ton imported, because currently companies only need to pay for the license issued by local councils. She went on to talk about dirty plastics, saying that the federal government does not allow the importation of raw dirty plastics, saying we only accept plastic waste from developed countries such as Europe, the United States, Australia, Japan and South Korea.
She added that the dirty plastic waste that we see dumped here are not approved by the government, and these companies may have broken some rules and committed fraudulent declaration when filling in the forms with the Customs Department. The government thinks that as the production of consumer goods from processed clean plastics is a promising income generator for the country, if done correctly, they'll slowly move away from importing plastic waste and only use local resources.
So the plan here seems to be to phase out what we're currently doing and take into consideration the local plastics needed to be used for exports, because then if we had an active recycling industry, we would be able to collect plastic waste and reduce that import, saying that it would take about 3 years in order for this phasing out to happen.
The ministry had recently reopened the applications for plastic waste license since it was frozen last July, and 19 companies had applied. They will be scrutinised on their eligibility to be issued plastic waste approved permits.
So this is, again, a conversation that has been running on now for quite a few months, I'm glad to see that there is a pretty firm stance being taken on this.
Yeah, so I think in the past, the problem again is always enforcement. They would close these factories down, but then some reports later would claim that these factories just reopen at a slightly later time with no permit.
So we're trying to understand this whole ecosystem surrounding plastics. You know, what is going on with both the importation as well as our local plastic waste. How are we going to achieve these things that the ministry has set out? And for that, we're going to be speaking with waste management consultant Jaron King. That is coming up right after this, so stay tuned to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
This is the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And for our first story of the hour, we are focusing on all things plastic. We have on the line waste management consultant Jaron King. Jaron, thanks for joining us. So why are we importing plastic waste in the first place? And how did this industry come to take root in Malaysia?
Actually, plastic recycling industry in Malaysia is considered quite a huge industry in Malaysia. I think the total GDP will be a few percent. And it's a multi-billion, I think more than 20 billion, but industry in Malaysia. In fact, now Malaysia is, since before and until now, one of the top 10 plastic manufacturing in the world. Yeah, even before the China ban last year, the import ban, the year before, Malaysia already is one of the top in the world. We import a lot of plastic from overseas and process here. I mean the waste plastic from the for other countries like Europe, Middle East, America, the Malaysia to reprocess into recycled material. Then you export to China or other countries or use in the nation.
And what exactly happens to the imported plastic waste? How does the process work?
See, normally they import plastic from the, for example, US or Europe. They will either import the industry plastic waste from the industry, from the factories, which are more cleaner in nature. Then the other one is plastic waste from the municipal, I mean for the household, for the commercial. And that is more contaminated compared with the one that's from the factory. So both types of plastic waste we import from overseas. When we come to here, then we will wash and crush like the one contaminated from the municipal waste, they will wash it. After they wash, they come the problem, the wastewater. When you wash the plastic, then you have the wastewater. In the wastewater, you really have facility to treat the wastewater instead of discharging it to the river. Now, this is the problem coming in. when we import the plastic from the overseas, the municipal, it's often contaminated. If you import the plastic from the factory, it's clean, quite clean, dry and clean, and then they can easily crush and then reprocess it. Reprocess basically means clean, and crush it, then they'll melt it. After they melt, they will cool it down, become like a pellet, and they cut into pellet. Yeah. Then become the raw material for another type of plastic, secondary plastic, recycled plastic. The raw material, they sell it as a pellet.
So does all of the imported plastic waste get processed, or are portions of it rejected?
Definitely not really. Not really, definitely. Especially even factory also, I think there are some rejects. Municipal normally 5-10%. That means when overall plastic, municipal plastic come in, normally 5 or 10% is rejected. This one normally this contaminated plastic. Not to say contaminated, this plastic is actually sorted for the MRF. MRF is a sorting facility. In Malaysia we don't have. In the other country, normally the government will encourage separation and sort, recycling. So household like you and me in the house, we will separate the recycled material, like plastic, paper, glass, metal, all these things. Sorted out from the general waste. This mixed recyclable is sent to a place called MRF or Material Recovery Facility. So here the machinery will do the sorting, manual machinery sorting the sort of the plastic and be different type. So this plastic in this Europe country where they have MRF, they sorted out this plastic. But they're Australia. Their countries don't have the capacity to recycle the plastic. When they sorted out the plastic, MRF and the MRF, they sorted out. Plastic in the recycling factory, the plastic recycling factory in Australia, for example, they cannot cope with all the plastic they can sort out. So the rest of it, they have to export. Normally export to China. Same with US or same with Europe also, they export to China. So since 2017, China imposed the ban. Not ban. Basically in China, they imposed the restriction on importing of plastic to reduce the contamination to 0.05%. Whenever plastic you want to import must have less than 0.05% reject. In other words, it's banned. Because you can't get 100%, definitely can't 100%. Definitely you start contaminant. Yeah.
So you spoke briefly about how mismanagement of wastewater from the process can contaminate the environment. Could you talk a bit more about the environmental impact of the plastic processing industry in Malaysia?
Actually, what Malaysia is doing is good for the environment. It's not bad for the environment. Because we import plastic from other countries, we recycle it. Imagine if this plastic is not being imported to Malaysia, let's say in Australia, for example, they have sorted out the plastic. They can only recycle half of it. So the half of it, they have either burn it, or if they have incinerator, okay, but if not, they have to dispose the landfill also. So like Malaysia, we have the plastic recycling factory to cope with this plastic. We can recycle it into other materials. So actually, it's good for the environment. It's not bad for the environment, it's good. The problem is, when this sector is not really regulated, there are some, as you say, some illegal factory, so-called illegal factory that import this plastic to process it, but without proper environmental control, for example, without wastewater treatment plant, for example. Or they dispose the reject, for example, say the 5-10% reject, they dispose it illegally, for example. If you dispose it in a proper way, it should go to sanitary landfill or sanitary landfill in Malaysia, in the case of Malaysia. But maybe this factory, they just take, for example, the plastic goes to the factory, they sort out whatever thing can recycle, they recycle it. The thing they cannot recycle, 5-10% or maybe more, they dispose to river. This is the one that caused the river pollution. Yeah.
The Malaysian government has often talked about the distinction between clean and dirty plastic waste and that will only allow clean plastic waste to be imported. Are they talking about industrial versus municipal plastic waste here?
Yeah. Now government says we only can import clean plastic. But how do you define this clean? I mean, normally clean plastic from the factory, they say like that, but not 100% or so. For the municipal, the thing is some contamination. Because there are so many types, for example, in your house, you separate the plastic out. There are many types of plastic. Sure, there are some plastic you cannot recycle. Or there are some, it's like, for example, so-called multi-layer laminated packaging, for example. This kind of thing that cannot recycle. Yeah.
The government has also said repeatedly that the plastic waste processing industry has huge economic potential. Is that something you agree with?
Yes, it's true. Really, it's true. It brings a lot of job opportunity for the locals, professional or local workers. It brings a lot of economy generating in Malaysia, export market, import export market. And also Malaysia currently, I think now we are the top level, maybe top two or top three. I think China, they banned it since 2017, right? Most of these are still come to Malaysia. or Vietnam, Malaysia, Vietnam, Philippines. Yeah.
And you said that it comes down to tighter regulations and proper management. But with that said, it seems there's still a pretty negative perception towards the plastic processing industry itself. I mean, some people have made the argument that it doesn't matter how often they refuse straws or recycle, so long as Malaysia continues to import plastic waste, that's where the focus should be. How do you deal with the perception?
That was the assumption that plastic import is bad. We are importing rubbish from other countries. Well, I understand this. I've heard before. Yeah, I mean, if you stop the import of plastic, it will affect the industry. Yeah. Of course, we also can rely on the local plastic. Local people have to separate. Malaysia, our plastic is not separated. Less than half of our plastic is separated. But even Malaysian people will separate all the plastic, it's still not enough to cope. I mean, this population is very small, 30 million only. You know, the one you import is a lot. You cannot cope with the local. It's not enough for the local plastic manufacturer. If you ban the import of plastic, environmentally, Malaysia will be better. I mean, in terms of local environment, because we have less contaminant come into Malaysia. And if you ban the import of plastic, I believe this plastic, the Euro country or different countries that to recycle it, but might go to other countries like, for example, Africa or Vietnam or Indonesia. Yeah. But what I want to emphasize is that plastic itself is actually not a bad thing for the environment. In fact, plastic do a lot of good things for the environment because of lightweight nature. Compared with paper, plastic saves a lot in transportation. Yeah, saves a lot of fossil fuel, carbon emissions. Media also you say that plastic is bad. It's not right actually to say plastic is bad. So actually, all these are caused by the human factors, the management of it. If the plastic waste is managed well managed, yeah, it's not a problem. And then in terms of a disposal, actually plastic can be high in calorific value. I mean, high in heating value. It can be burned, can be incinerated and recovered energy. Just like, for example, like Sweden, for example, you read the news of Sweden or many countries, Euro countries also, they import rubbish, they import waste from European countries like Bulgaria, for example, they import from mostly this Eastern Europe. Then they go to the incinerator to burn it to recover energy, local and renewable energy. Yeah. So with the proper facility infrastructure, with environmental stringent under control, they can do it. They can perform it in an environmental friendly way.
But isn't it ironic that we're importing plastic waste to recycle them, but at the same time, we're not processing much of our own waste? Where do we go from here in terms of managing our own waste?
I want to emphasize the role of government. Not very little, I want to say it's maybe 50%. Paper matter, I think, is quite a lot in Malaysia. Recycled, but the plastic is still maybe half. I would say people understanding and awareness on plastic recycling is still quite low in Malaysia. And a lot of people think that plastic can recycle. So of course, at the end of the day, still government has to do something. Government has to carry out more regulation. Introduce more regulation on this separate collection recyclable. Introduce more program scheme, which is not rocket science. It's not hard. It can be done. For example, MPBC, they're doing some recycling program. For example, this Wanda Utama. I'm involving this project. Every month they get around 10 tons of recyclable. Mixed recyclable. I mean, the recyclable they separate out, the dry recyclable they sort up. They sort up. They go for recycling. And for information, also this 10 times, normally about 2-3 times is reject. You can't get 100% recycled, right? Even you separate out the recyclable inside there, also there's some can recycle. But overall in Malaysia, this kind of thing is not common.
Jaron, one last question before we let you go. How much of our waste gets to the landfills? How much gets recycled?
Okay, now in Malaysia, we have around 33 or 34,000 tons every day. To landfill. To recycle, I think maybe around 5,000-6,000 tons. So I think they say now the officially recycling rate in Malaysia is around 13%. 13%. Government said almost 20%, which is not true. Because the recycling rate, you do recycling, the maximum you can go is around 30%. 30% only. Yeah, in total waste. I mean to say in our waste, our municipal solid waste, our household waste, only 30 the maximum of 30% can recycle. The rest is basically they cannot recycle or food waste, food organic waste. If you separate out your food waste, then you can achieve maybe 60-70%. Just like Germany, for example. Germany and Korea and Belgium, this country. So currently, we are, I think, around 13%, 12-13%. So maybe meaning to say that out of the total recyclable, we have to actually separate recycle rate, like paper, mostly paper and it's metal. We separate out for recycling. But there's still half of the recyclables you end up in our general waste stream.
Jaron, thank you for sharing all that with us. That was Jaron King, who is a waste management consultant, giving us a look at the plastic processing industry here in Malaysia. And we received a couple of messages about this. This here from Rajiv, who I should qualify is Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, saying how to differentiate clean and dirty plastic. That's why you have to impose fee per ton of waste. And this issue doesn't distract from the single-use plastic phasing out. It's a roadmap towards 2030. And it's about removing plastic waste from the rivers and seas. And I agree with that. To be clear, I think our question there was mostly coming from the point of view of the last few times we've spoken about plastic on the show, we do get that response.
Yeah, and I think it's good to hear that at least there's some distinction there coming from and an explanation coming from one of our Arduins.
Yes, that's very true. We've also received other messages here. One about the BRT. This is from Shamil saying that actually we already have one in Sunway, but it costs quite a lot because it is using a specialised route built on top of current road. I think the BRT is a good idea, but build it on road level. It should cost less. By the way, I remember vividly that SPAD mentioned that there are several BRT routes planned, the federal being one of it. And then they scrapped the plan. I truly, truly believe that the BRT Federal is crucial to control the massive traffic we have every day on the federal highway.
Yeah, and that's a good counterpoint to the other one, to the other message that we received that said that right now the federal highway is just a giant parking lot. And I think with reference to this, it's a good idea.
Yes. Julian, meanwhile, whatever we do, we won't save the planet. The planet got on well enough before we appeared and will continue after we are gone. Mass extinctions have happened several times before. Life has flourished after each one. Yes, Julian, fair enough. I think we were using save the planet there as just sort of a catchy phrase. And yes, I think the question here is also, what are we trying to sustain the planet for? That is a fair question. And I think most times, most people will say, for humans, right?
Yeah.
So that's what it comes down to. But you can keep those messages coming, whether it's about the bus rapid transit system, whether you have thoughts on plastic, whether it's about whether you would swap your diet out in order to help what's going on with climate change. You can let us know. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. And you can also, of course, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.